This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Who they want? Baseball Spo.
That's who they want, and that's who they're going to get here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. It is Adam Spillane, our Astros and Rockets insider. Spo, what's happening, man?
Hey, for real.
Doing quite well. Doing well indeed. I'm trying to decide which way to go on this because both teams remain in interesting spaces. I'll go with the Astros side of this. Last time we talked, we were still looking at the possibility of what contingencies could be there. Should Alex Bregman not decide to come to terms with the Astros, or the Astros not decide to meet his requests?
And
to
guess what we're doing today?
His services. we're wondering about that particular situation. That's still out there. His free agency. However, more contingencies are in play. Obviously, the Astros trading Kyle Tucker and bringing in Cam Smith, a third base prospect, Hayden Wesneski, and Isak Paredes. How do you like this situation when it comes to the potential to replace Alex Bregman if he does not resign now as opposed to last week?
Yeah, I think there are better options out there right now than maybe we thought when this whole process started. And I thought they did good with the trade. That's as good as you're probably going to get when you're trading a guy who's got 1 year of team control left and is about to be a free agent with Tucker. So you have a guy in Paredes who can obviously play third base. Cam Smith is obviously, that's a little further down the road, but obviously he can too. But then,
about how far do you feel? Because I know that MLB.com on their prospect rankings, they have him like as like maybe a 2026.
Yeah, that's debut. Probably. I mean, he got to Double A last year. He's a college guy, so those guys can go through the system a little quicker. So it all just kind of depends on just how he plays next year. And if you told me in September he plays his way into getting a promotion to the big leagues, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically. Those college guys can kind of get through pretty quick. And he was an older college guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 21 right now. But, yeah, I think that you have to wait and see. A lot of the things that guys struggle with coming out of the draft, he's okay with. Like, he's not a strikeout guy. He can still hit for power. And a lot of times these guys coming out of the draft, they'll hit for some power, but they'll also strike out a bunch. So that's mm-hmm. not a real big issue with him. So I think for him it might just be trying to find him a position. I don't know. He can play third base, obviously. I don't know if he can play it at the level that you want him to be able to play it at this level. Same thing first base, and then maybe you try him in one of the corners. That's something that Dana Brown had mentioned. But you have Paredes. The third, Arenado was somebody that I mentioned going into the offseason, and I wasn't sure if they would be interested in doing that. Again, he's owed a lot of money coming off of a couple of bad years. But if that opening is there, and if the Cardinals are willing to take on enough of that contract, and the Rockies are already taking on some of it, but if the Cardinals are willing to take on a good portion of it, it's not going to cost you a lot in terms of prospect capital. So it's not a bad thing to just kind of investigate, to look at.
But you do have two third basemen, even if Cam Smith might end up somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much writing on the wall, right?
Yeah, Cam Smith is more down the road, and you never know. He might take to a different position better than third base. Paredes can go over and play first base, and that obviously is a big position of need. And listen, Arenado is one of the best third basemen defensively of his generation. And I know, listen, I'll be honest, I've known the guy since he was 18. Mm-hmm. He was on my first team when I started with the Rockies in 2009. Incredible person, puts in the work, holds himself to a really high standard, and the people around him he holds to a really high standard. He's a good clubhouse guy who just wants to win, has not won at all at this level. He's won one playoff game his entire career. That was a wild card game for the Rockies in 18. Went to the Cardinals. They went to the wild card series a couple times. They couldn't get a win. So I know that's what he wants to do. But obviously the big thing is, well, why has the bat fallen off the last 2 years? That's something that the Astros need to figure out if that's something that they can salvage. But it's different. I've heard a lot about Abreu. Well, you signed Abreu, after, his offense started to decline. The difference is that Abreu was a butcher at first base, and Arenado continues to be one of the best defensive third basemen in all of baseball. So that's the difference between the two.
Now, one more thing about the Astros before we talk a little bit about this Rockets team. With that move, outfield looks real depleted, man.
Yeah.
Outfield looks like...
Well, he's mentioned the names.
We might have a every home game a little bit of a raffle to see who out of the stands would like to play left field or whatever. Yeah. That's where we are. How do you anticipate that they address this, or do you think that they might be go into this with simply just a real makeshift outfield?
I mean, I think that they have some money to spend, and I think that you look at there are some outfielders out there that would fit if they wanted to go out and spend some money. Anthony Santander is somebody that I talked about when the offseason started. He's still out there. He hasn't signed for whatever reason. Teoscar Hernandez, who has been in the Astros system before, he's still out there. So they have some options to go get some outfielders. One name that Dana Brown did not mention, which was somewhat surprising, was Jacob Melton, who was their top prospect before Friday's trade. Mm-hmm. He projects, I think, more of a center fielder. But I think the Astros are in kind of more dire need of somebody to play the corners at this point. But that is somebody who I think that could factor into the discussion once we get into spring training if they leave things the way they are right now. But I would be surprised if they leave things the way they are with the outfield. If they don't go out and get somebody, I think that's kind of doing themselves a pretty big disservice.
Where's Alex Bregman ending up?
Probably not here.
No, but what do you think? Because obviously Yankees are still in play. Mm-hmm. By the way, we talked about the awkward relationship Cody Bellinger had with Giancarlo Stanton. He could have a very awkward relationship with Alex Bregman. I mean, Bellinger is the one that said they stole.
Yeah.
Altuve stole Aaron Judge's MVP.
Time heals all with all that stuff. In all honesty, I think the Yankees have had a good offseason. Mm-hmm. And I know they lost Soto, but losing Soto and then getting Max Fried and Devin Williams and... who else did they get?
Well, Bellinger.
Yeah, Bellinger.
Yeah.
That makes them really, it makes them better defensively. Bregman obviously would make them better defensively, and it fills a need for them. So if they can turn Juan Soto into those four guys, that team's a whole lot better this year, for 2025 than it was for last year, especially when you consider that it fits better. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a great fit because you had Aaron Judge playing center field last year. That's not fair to him.
Yeah.
And now you can just slide him over to one of the corners. You have Bellinger in center. You can play Bellinger basically anywhere. So that defense is going to be a whole lot better this year than it was last year. And they weren't a good defensive team last year, and they still went to the World Series.
All right.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this Rockets team, obviously last time we talked, they were still vying for the NBA Cup. Now the NBA Cup has been decided. Man. And the Rockets, unfortunately...
Incredible excitement with that thing yesterday.
Yes, a lot of excitement. No celebration, funny enough, though. But offense still very clearly an issue with this team. And shooting, and scoring, really, at all three levels. Do you see anything... Because we were trying to talk through this, I think, what was it, Monday? Or Tuesday? Was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. Do you see any paths to even marginal improvement with scoring with this team, because it feels like what they're doing right now is so bare bones.
Make your wide open threes. Like, it's really kind of that simple right now. And you look at Fred VanVleet. I posted this the other day. I don't remember what the exact numbers are, but
Fred was like somewhere in 34. Yeah, this season.
I think he was like below. He's like at 33 something. And for his career, VanVleet is like a 40, 41, 42% 3-point shooter on wide open looks. Like, he's not going to shoot 33% on wide open looks the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And he's a high volume 3-point shooter. And right now, those shots aren't going in. At some point, they will drop. And at some point, the offense will look a little bit better. But yeah, they are a limited offensive team right now. And it's not just VanVleet. It's, you know, Jalen Green isn't making threes to the level that he should be making them. And again, he's been okay on catch and shoot threes. Like, he's 35% on catch and shoot threes. That's a pretty good number.
But the offense isn't geared for him to get catch and shoot shots.
Yeah, they are for like the Shingun post-ups and then the kickouts. Okay. Like, that stuff is kind of built for it. But it's just been really inconsistent, and they aren't making shots at the rim either. And this is something that we've talked about, you know, throughout the season, and that's been on Şengün.
Yeah.
Where Şengün, I think last time I looked, he was at like 58% inside the restricted area. That's not good enough for a center. He's got to be better inside, and then they've got to be better from the outside. Yeah, I looked. Somebody posted, I think, all the 3-point misses from mm-hmm. Saturday's game, and there were a lot. For the most part, those are shots that you are okay with them taking. Like, I am okay with Fred VanVleet taking a wide open three. It's just who he's been over the course of his entire career. He has been an above average 3-point shooter his entire career. If he takes that shot, I am willing to live with it. I will live with the result, whether it goes in or it doesn't go in. And he had a bunch of rim out the other night, too.
How many games in are we right now? It's
25.
Yeah. So you still
we're moving quick.
You still believe just ride it out and find out?
I mean, listen, if Fred VanVleet goes the entire year shooting 33% on wide open threes, then hey, something's up.
And you got your answer.
Yeah, maybe he's hurt. You know, he's missed some time. You know, he had the knee thing that cost him that forced him to miss a game right before that Clippers game about 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's bothering him. I don't know. Maybe that's been a whole thing all year. We've talked about Şengün in the back being a reason why he hasn't been able to be more efficient inside. So maybe that's why.
But then you have other guys that are not making shots. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you just find out.
Dylan Brooks has been had a really good year from three. Mm-hmm. You know, Amen Thompson is taking a decent amount of shots, and he's not hitting at a good clip, yeah, but hitting at a good clip for him. I'm okay with him taking that shot because it means that he's confident enough to take it. Tari Eason's been okay shooting it from three. Same thing with Jabari Smith.
Especially in those corners.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think whenever you're talking about 3-point shooting, it's going to be a high variance stat. Like, you are going to have stretches where you shoot it incredibly well, and you're going to have stretches where you shoot it poorly, and it's just a matter of remaining confident, you know, keeping your confidence through those bad times to continue to shoot that ball, because eventually, if they're the right shots, they're going to go in. And I do think the one thing that Udoka will say is that these are the right shots. Like, these are the shots that we are fine with.
And you're headed to South Bend.
I am.
Yeah, we got seats, baby.
We got 20. Let's see. I'll get there tomorrow evening is when I arrive.
Excellent.
You make a bet with Sean?
No.
Come on.
No, I.
Not that confident.
Listen, I just want to win the game and talk a little crap, and then that's about it. If we lose the game, we'll pretend like it did not happen.
Very good. Fair enough.
I'm just hoping I don't freeze. I think the temperature for 11 o'clock on Friday night has kind of creeped up to 25.
Gross.
Oh,
so
that's
a good thing. It's been in the low 20s for much of the week.
Gross.
All the snow will be in the morning and early afternoon.
You went there, dude. You went there.
I went to school in southern Indiana, where it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Like, we're
really
up by
making
Chicago.
The distinction between
yes okay. Oh yeah,
very good.
100% because South Bend is by Chicago,
yeah,
and Chicago is a whole lot colder than Bloomington,
with the lake
is.
Effect and all that.
Oh, the lake and the wind and all that,
it's the worst.
All that stuff, yeah. So I will take Southern Indiana weather over
this. Is real northern I'm not trying to. I am wearing short sleeves on December 18th. I'm not hearing any of that. 25 is just a little bit better. No,
25 American degrees.
That is our guy, Adam Spillane, Rockets, Astros insider, and resident Indiana fan. I didn't even ask you about Reed Sheppard, because it's kind of interesting that
games, DMV CDs.
Yeah, man. It's evident that Ime, at least when it comes to those big-time games, trusts Aaron Holiday a lot more, but it'll be interesting to see his reintegration. I guess I will write that down as question number one when we talk to you next week.
That'll be for next week. Absolutely.
There you go. Adam Spillane, every Wednesday here at 1040. We appreciate you, my man. All right, coming up next in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Well, first of all, we open up the window for a four-pack of tickets to the Kinders Texas Bowl, so that'll happen in the next hour. But let's go around the NFL where it seems like us saying the Kirk Cousins era was over was correct. We'll talk about that and more next.